Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 432, entitled How Dave Gray is Fixing WordPress Admin Pain Points with Smart Utility Plugins. It was published on Thursday, the 7th of August, 2025. My name is Nathan Wrigley, and before we begin, a few bits of housekeeping. If you like what we do at WP Builds, head to our subscribe page, wpbuilds.com/subscribe. You can find all of the different social channels that we post on. Perhaps if you're feeling generous, you could go to your podcast player of choice and give us a thumbs up or a like or a 5-star review or whatever it may be. We would really appreciate that, and it certainly does help with the discoverability of this podcast. If you really like what we're doing and you have a product or service in the WordPress space, you might like to sponsor the podcast and get your messages out to a WordPress-specific audience, which is exactly what we have. If you think that's for you, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. Three fine companies that have done just that are GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also helped this week by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And we thank Bluehost, GoDaddy Pro, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without the great support of companies like that. If you want to find out more about advertising on our podcast, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise. I would just let you know that if you do sign up for our newsletter, we're going to send you two emails a week. One is to announce that this, the podcast, which is produced on a Thursday, well, we'll send you an email about that, but we'll also send you an email about the This Week in WordPress show. We do that live every Monday, 2 p.m. UK time. It's at wpbuilds.com/live. Come and join us in the comments, but we repackage that up and send it out as a podcast episode on a Tuesday, so you'll hear about that as well. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am joined by Dave Gray. Dave Gray has been on This Week in WordPress many times, but he's also decided to venture out into the WordPress world. In the past, he's been working for a variety of different corporations, and now he's decided to go it alone. So we talk about him, what he's done in the past, what he is building, the utility plugins that he's concentrating on, and really the umbrella of his idea is to neaten up and tidy up the admin interface, and he's got a whole suite of plugins. So he's got Administrator Toolkit, Nag Me Not, LaunchThatWebsite.com, and a variety of other things, and it's really nice just getting into a conversation with somebody in the WordPress space who might be on the same journey as you are. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Dave Gray. Hello, Dave.
Good morning.
It is the morning. It's nice to chat to you. Yes. Dave and I really, honestly, we've done probably close to 35 minutes of gossiping already. So saying hello seems weird, but hello.
Yes.
nice to see you. Yes. Dave has joined me many times before on This Week in WordPress, but I believe this is the first time that we've had a direct podcast chat. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, because basically it's after sort of Michelle at WordCamp Europe said, oh, you need to get back on This Week in WordPress. So then messaged you to say, oh, what about that? And you thought, you know what? Let's have a one-to-one. And yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, that's really nice. Because you have been in the WordPress space for a fair length of time. We're going to talk about the bits and pieces that you've done, your journey, and where you're at the moment, and the products that you've got, and hopefully products that you're going to be selling into the marketplace in the near future. Do you just want to tell us a little bit about you, like your potted bio, if you like, how long you've been working with WordPress, what you have done, what you're embarking upon?
Yes, so without getting too waffly on here, I've been around in the WordPress space for quite a number of years, back in the old 5-minute installer days and cPanel on there, but then kind of got a commercial interest in it back in early 2022 when I got into WordPress reselling hosting on that side, sort of through, ironically, via a creative agency that I used to help on there. Then in 2023, started moving across into site builds with Divi, which wasn't the best choice at that point, but they had a lifetime license. And when you're new to that side, you thought that's a good deal on that side through. And then progressed into the plugin world in 2024 with a few that I acquired from Andrew Palmer, before then starting on my own new sort of plugins, which we can kind of cover in a minute on that side through. And then, yeah, this year is going to be more doubling down on kind of a whole ecosystem behind the different ideas and things I've had. Because as of the start of July, I gave up 20 years in the corporate world to go fully on my own business, which is somewhat eek scary on that side through. But over the last, I think, year and a half, I dropped from 5 days a week down to 4, then down to 3, and asked if I could drop to 1. And they said, no, we need it to be for 3. So I said, sayonara, and gave my notice in. And now I'm not quite up the creek without a paddle, because I was kind of financially astute on that side and have been planning the last 3 years for the get out plan.
Good.
But yes, I'm now going to be more focusing on the kind of probably less on the site build side of things, but more kind of the product based approach. And then hopefully a sort of a SaaS of some sort to be a kind of the hero product on there. Because while I don't want to diversify too far away, you kind of just want to have a backup plan in case Matt has another interesting meeting somewhere.
Okay. So that's very brave for a start. Firstly, congratulations. I know that many people hold this dream of kind of working from home, and not just working from home, because obviously you could be working from home for the man, as they say. But in this situation, it's working from home for you. But it does sound like you've got yourself in a good position, but also still nervy, because it doesn't matter how good that position is. Presumably, you've got a bit of runway, which doesn't go on forever, unless you are, you know, some kind of millionaire that I don't know about.
Yeah, I didn't win the Euros last night, unfortunately. So that 64 million is going to be going to someone else.
What a waste. No. What a waste. It should have gone to you.
Yeah, I've been kind of sort of planning like the last couple of years that this is kind of going to be the end game on there. And then from other sort of family situation with the in-laws and things and their health situation, and kind of I'm not getting any younger and spending another 10 years sitting at desk, my knees and things wouldn't really cope too well on there. So I was like, yeah, not quite the midlife crisis on that side, but it's a case of something needs to change so I can better fit with family needs and things on that side through for the having trouble to get into school in the morning on that side. Do I need to worry that I'm starting work half an hour late? No, because I'm on my own terms and things on that side
That is the single most profound thing that I enjoy about the fact that I'm a freelancer. So I was a freelancer building websites for many, many years, and I really enjoyed that. Now, obviously, I just make content in the WordPress space. I create podcasts like this. But that's the single most profound thing. The idea that so long as the stuff gets done and you can be, I don't know, efficient at creating that. In other words, you don't just sit downstairs reading books 24/7. You know, you set yourself targets and stick to those targets. But it doesn't matter whether you do it at 4 in the morning or 7 in the morning or what have you. You know, you can dip out, muck around with your kids, take them to school and all that kind of thing. I think it's so easy to forget how sublimely cool that is and how lucky those people who manage to pull it off are. It's fabulous.
Yeah, because when I think that over the last few years, the amount of evenings and weekends, it's been a case of, right, the kids are in bed, I can start hacking around on this plugin or this other part on that side through. That, yeah, the aim for me is also to then kind of be, yeah, if I get work done during the day, then that's all good. But then if my sort of youngest wants to stop at the park after school for half an hour, it's not going to be a case of, well, I'm going to have to allow my timesheet again to say I've been working all this time sort of through. And yeah, I could then sort of crack on for a bit in the evening if I want to on that side through. Or you're not just making hours up because you've got to fill in the timesheet. It's a case of, yeah, I'm feeling productive, do this thing. If there's something else going through, you can kind of just wander off and do some of those things.
So, I am really quite relish doing things at peculiar times of the day. So, you know, normally you and I are chatting, it's the middle of the morning, that's fairly typical, I'll sit down and crack on. But I do quite enjoy that whole process of starting at midnight. There is something occasionally doing that I love. And just the fact that I can, you know, I've got something to finish, it really ought to be done by tomorrow, but I haven't done it. Everybody has gone to bed and I can start now. I just love it. I just love that freedom. It's absolutely fabulous. And in my case as well, so long as I get the podcast scheduled, I could take a longer period of time off. And obviously, if you get to your goal of having a suite of successful plugins, you could do the same, couldn't you? You could, in theory, sit on a beach somewhere doing that work, or just take a couple of weeks off, so long as the support is dealt with. Anyway, that was a total aside. Off we went and really got into that. So let's first of all just outline the bits and pieces that you currently are working on. So each of these plugins are, for a start, you're not doing like Elementor, you're not doing some like giant thing. No. You've got a bunch of smaller products which do a smaller subset of things and hopefully do them rather well. Do you just want to rattle them off, all the ones that you've got?
Yeah, so the idea of having like utility plugins feel a bit more enticing on that side, because also as a solo developer and I previously had limited time on there, there's no point trying to tackle something that's humongous on that side. But kind of for having like the web hosting and site building background the last couple of years, there's been a few different sort of pain points that I've had or seen other sort of freelancers sort of talk about on sort of Twitter on that side. I thought, let's kind of combine some of those bits together. So it basically sort of the two plugins, or my two hero plugins, I should sort of say, are going to be the Administrator Toolkits and its kind of its sister or companion plugin, sort of Nag Me Nuts. And they're more aimed for kind of the people doing site build and maintenance, where their clients might be logging in to look after their sites, and you want to kind of restrict some of their capabilities so they're less likely to break things on that side, with a kind of a light dusting of security sort of elements and bits on there as well, so that if you are just maintaining the site completely for a customer, and most customers want to have their own emergency admin account on that side through, then it can also ping you notice if they ever sort of log in on that side. Because I think from spending far too much time on Twitter over the last couple of years, there's been a few different horror stories where the clients let some other SEO agency on that's then installed some other plugins, either broken the site, massively mucked it up, or eventually, they've now just moved the site to a different hosting on that side for them to manage. And then you get locked out from that bit because they delete your user account, but you still get the WordPress is updated to 6.8.2 emails through, but then you can't get through. So yeah, Administrator Toolkit is more around kind of the need for people kind of maintaining the site from kind of the care plan or support perspective on that side. But then it's also for people just doing like independent WordPress reselling and hosting on that side through. You can also do things like customizing the plugin list. So when you go to featured, you could get rid of Jetpack and Gutenberg and BBPress and things that no one wants to put on there, and recommend your own sort of repo or external kind of other sort of plugins like better anti sort of spam things on there, or your search and replace and things through. So it branched out from its small little need of just basically making sure your user account can't get deleted, which is why I thought, right, well, if it's an Administrator Toolkit, multiple different things in there, it's not going to be like your professional level, like solid security power tool for that bit, but it's more your multifunction sort of Swiss tool that you can do lots of small things to a level that you need it to do on that side. Kind of,
It's
a bit more like a fire and forget and that just sits in the background sort of thing for that.
I really like this. So I guess I would encapsulate it as it's a thing which you would use if you are, let's say like I was, you're a freelancer, you're building WordPress sites, and you've just got that hassle of handing over a website, knowing that the WordPress permissions system isn't robust enough. And it's quite likely that if you give them, editor, for example, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that they can still break. And it feels like what you've built here is just a way of kind of locking that down. So me as the administrator, I can go in and tick some boxes and sort of say, okay, that's no longer allowed to you, but also enhancing different things. So like you said, you can sort of promote different plugins or a different repository and that kind of thing. And it grew when you launched this, it felt like it was just one thing. It was kind of making sure that the emails got through and what have you, and then it's expanded from there. And it this one feels like you could really grow it. You could turn this into like the all-in-one suite for everything, but it sounds like you don't want to do that.
Yeah, because that's part of the whole sort of catch-22 situation on there, that you've seen other people sort of say, well, this plugin's not had any new features in the last couple of, well, not this particular one, but the plugin they're talking about hasn't had any new features apart from like compatibility updates. Is that a good or bad thing? Then some people say, well, it's a good thing, because if it does what it needed to do or what people have installed it for, then that's good. Rather than you get some other ones, which I want to not go sort of too down the line, that every 6 months they put yet more things into it because they feel they got to justify it, and now it does 10 million things beyond what you really want it to do on that side through, which is where for quite a while I was debating, do I bake NagMe not for blocking your notifications and things into that one as well? But then it's like, well, they do two different things on that side. So I thought, right, well, NagMe not is going to stay in a separate plugin, but it's kind of like, you can basically use both side by side on that bit. So if your clients do ever log in, you can basically just say for their user accounts, they get 99.9% of all the kind of upgrade for this plugin, review so-and-so banners and things at the top blocked away. So they can kind of go through and do their day-to-day editing without saying, you're looking after my site, why is this thing saying I need to review it in 5 stars and all those things? Whereas if you log in as the site maintainer, you can just toggle it on and off to see, I want to get on and do things versus close down all these other adverts and things on that side through. So I think that's why I'm kind of going a bit more, lots of smaller plugins, so you can basically pick and choose what you want on there rather than trying to do one plugin that does literally everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I might need to rename it to my website toolkit domain rather than administrator toolkit, because I'll be doing other things on that side through. But
it is interesting, that whole debate of you buy, like you've called it, a utility plugin. And by that, I guess you're meaning, you know, it does little, but it does it well. It's kind of functional for a subset of things. You know, you mentioned solid security, which has, I don't know how many things, but many options in there. Mm. I agree with you, but I also kind of agree as a user. It is quite nice to see updates, and there's this whole interesting path you're going to have to tread. Like if you decide definitively not to add a load of features, I suspect that some customers will be pushy about that. It's like, well, okay, it doesn't seem to be getting too much attention. But if you think about it, you pay your let's say you using, I don't know, something like Evernote, a SaaS product, whether you use it or not, or whether it receives updates or not, you're still paying for it just because of the fact it's not receiving a ton of updates, or, you know, the necessary updates that you think are necessary. That'll be an interesting path you're going to have to tread. How much do you cram in order to make people satisfied? Because I can guarantee at some point you're going to annoy people for having too many things in there.
Yeah, I need to kind of sort of tread the line carefully of not just adding, oh, this idea would be really great.
Yeah.
It's on the this week's episode when they're sort of saying about blocking, I can't remember what it was now, but they sort of, on the call, they said about blocking something else. And I thought, oh, that'd be quite a good thing to sort of put in there. Then I thought, oh, no, that's not directly related to the use case for admin toolkit. So I then like got as far as opening Claude up to like, could you do this thing? And then like, no, I'll ignore that bit. I can't remember what the actual part on the show was on there, but it's some other blocking something else or filtering something else. So I don't know, it's the draft. You're not using the trash can as an
archive. Oh, that's right. On that side. Bernard Cow wrote a piece about
that. Oh, that might be a good thing to say. Can you get an extra status? And I was like, no, that's not related to what that bit is. So I was like, no, put the blinkers on. I'm not going to add new features to that, but I need to finish off the knowledge base and things. But yeah, it may well be more smaller plugins on that side, which I might then have in like the all access or bundle equivalent on there to say, right, 1 month of your annual thing on there, just get access to anything plugin related that I sort of make on there that hasn't got back end SaaS needs behind it on that side, or just sort of factor that a bit in. But,
yeah, that's an interesting idea. The idea of like if you make this into just the administrator toolkit that does absolutely everything, you kind of water down the messaging, you make it harder to understand and to pitch.
Thinking about that, just rebrand my website toolkit domain to say, right, buy the overall bit on there and get access to all these other things. So it basically is a toolkit for your website. You can do your admin and security bits, you can do your notices, you can get some extra stuff in your media library or other parts on that side.
I like the idea of a plugin. I've often seen this. So, for example, in, I don't know, a load of block suites, things like Stackable and Cadence and things like that. You purchase the plan, but then you can kind of toggle things on and off so that it's almost like having a separate plugin. So everything's kind of bundled within the code, but then you can turn off this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing so that you've got this slimmed down version. However, other developers, I'm thinking of Mark Westgaard with his WS Form, he's gone down the route of you have to download a separate plugin for each thing that you want to add. So for example, if you want to add ActiveCampaign as a place where you can send people who fill out a form and tick a box, they can have their email sent to ActiveCampaign. That's a separate plugin that you have to download. I think it's a difficult tightrope to tread, but I also like the idea that you suggested of having a business which is possible to sell the all access plan. So you've got, I don't know, 12, 15 plugins, but they all follow kind of like a similar theme. They're all to do with cleaning up the admin or being an administrator of a WordPress website, and you can subscribe to the whole lot. That then, I guess, would encourage you to build loads of little utility plugins, because then it kind of feels like if you've got 15 of those available, as opposed to three with three really big plugins, as opposed to 15 little ones, feels like you're getting less of a good deal. I don't know. It's difficult. You're going to have to figure all this out.
Yeah, this is where it's been, as it comes down, like the whole support of how do you then support that many small ones versus the large one on that side. But I think most of my ideas have been fairly well self-contained on that side. So if you're the sort of person that would understand why this plugin would be useful, you'd have enough knowledge to kind of go through and do some of those bits in place. But yeah, it's, as you say, getting that balance between do you get lots of different things to cover lots of different use cases, or just focus on a couple of large ones on that side. But I think I need to kind of get sort of admin toolkit and actually not kind of properly polished off and a bit more marketed on that side, while also then planning how to kind of diversify out on that side, so you're not then spreading too thin or moving on to the next bit.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to
other product owners scream like, just focus on the one thing.
Exactly right. You are going to have to be really good at disciplining yourself to not be, you know, you get that kind of, I don't know, one support request comes in and demands a thing or says, why hasn't it got this? And it's easy to get derailed. Like you said, you were listening to our show the other day and something popped into your head. It's like, oh, I'll add that in. You've got to be disciplined, haven't you? Otherwise, you kind of lose the... Well, the marketing becomes harder because you're now doing 4,000 different things. Let's just quickly go through what the... Like, in some detail, let's make the audience aware of what the administrator toolkit can do. Firstly, nice domain, nice and straightforward. Head to administratortoolkit.com. No hyphens, nothing weird, just administratortoolkit.com. You can see on the headline there, it says WordPress Admin Security and Plugin Management. And then underneath that, there's, I don't know, a list of about 20 odd bullet points. So they're grouped into four sections. The first one is admin user management. So it's things like email domain whitelisting for admins, email only login enforcement, admin activity tracking, emergency only admin accounts, and various other things. The other subset would be user account security, so login attempt monitoring, notification of suspicious admin activity, plugin protection mechanisms. Then you've got plugin management. So again, bear in mind, you're the administrator, you're handing this over to clients. You can hide plugins from other admins. That's quite nice. So actually give people an admin role and it won't be the end of the world. Prevent plugin deactivation, admin role notes to plugins, and more. And then active staging site warnings is the final of the four. Login screen warning, admin bar warning, and various other bits and pieces. Are you about there with this one? Do you think you've nailed roughly what this product is, or are you still getting derailed?
I've got enough different use cases for people's different pain points on there, because you get, well, there's a million different types of sort of freelancers and people that go out there and do things. So it's kind of, hopefully ticks enough boxes for people that work in different ways on there. Because you get some people that say, well, I'd never give my client an admin account on that side because I have everything locked down on there. Well, okay, you wouldn't necessarily need some of those bits through. But then you have others that they do want to let their client have an admin account because they may be a bit more of a pro user on that side.
Right.
Which then you also then want to protect yourself from then accidentally been a bit too proactive on that side for updating WordPress to a major release on that side before you've tested it as part of your maintenance thing. So yeah, that's where different things like hiding the plugins from other admins come in, because you can kind of completely hide it, have it shown, but have a little protected thing so they can't deactivate it or update it on that side, or even just down to a simple admin note to say license renews on Black Friday, this bit on that side through. So it kind of hopefully ticks enough boxes for the many different ways that sort of people work on there, rather than saying you've got to have everything on here. You may get some people just literally want to have like the plugin notifications and bits on that side through, so that your client may just be able to have full access to their site, but you just want to keep a bit of oversight on that side through. So whenever they install a plugin, you can get a notification through to say, oh, this thing's come through from the repo, or this other plugin's been developed elsewhere and got installed on that side. So you can sort of say, oh, you just installed this plugin, but you've already got X security plugin in place on there. Is there anything we can guide you with on that side through? So it's, yeah, it kind of just hopefully covers enough different points for how people want to use, even if you're just kind of offering WordPress hosting as an independent person on that side through, and you just have this just to have an extra sort of set of eyes on them, just to keep an eye out for bits on that side. Or do they normally log in from the UK, but then their user account is now suddenly logged in from a completely different country? Get in contact on that side. You could also pop on, force log that particular user out on that side and do things on there. So yeah.
So the idea really is to make your job of being an administrator less likely to be derailed by some other human being who may not have the expertise to know what they're doing or do something accidentally. And then there's that whole tracking side where if people do make mistakes, at least you can figure out what the heck they did and who did it, and then go and have a word.
Yeah, because at the moment there's not a full like activity logging of this change and so-and-so is what happened on that side, but it's more the if this user's kind of deactivated this plugin or updated this bit, then you can kind of see at the high level on there, because it's also trying to balance the fine line between recreating 10 different plugins that are out there to do the exact same thing versus trying to fit in that gap between big plugins. I don't want to wave my hands because it's not on the video on that side, but yeah, you have your big plugins that do one thing, and then like your site management tools that might do something else. I'm trying to position this in that nice little sweet spot between it hasn't got much overlap with different areas, but it still covers quite a few different pain points on that side. Yeah, I think I've now got it kind of feature rich to start trying to market and get more sort of bums on the seats to try out and feedback on that side.
It strikes me, forgive me for being so bold, but it strikes me that this is the one that I think is going to take off.
I want this to be my hero sort of plugin on that side sort of through. Yeah, the other ones are kind of more minor on the
I think the user base for the other ones is, whilst it's definitely there, is less, because you know, and also it's fairly straightforward to figure out who the market is for this. It's people who build WordPress websites who want to hand them off to clients, and obviously they don't think that there's enough permissions or granularity in the security infrastructure of WordPress, and they want to be able to sort of make that more fine-grained. So it's really easy to speak to them and figure out who they are and market to them and what have you. But definitely go and check that out. And obviously, you know, it's fairly young, it's new out the gate, if you like, and so there's probably a lot of bits and pieces that will be added, despite the fact that you have to be blinkered.
I think it's just over a year and a half-ish old on that side. It's kind of had if you ever sort of see the release notes on that, but it evolved quite a bit from literally having the one feature of preventing the site owner user from being deleted if it matched up to the administration email address.
Yeah,
Built around that one thing.
Yeah, I remember when you brought that out thinking, it does that one thing. And now, you know, a year on, we're looking at a full suite of different things, and it's pretty comprehensive. I can't see too many. No doubt your customers will figure out some area that you've missed, and we'll let you know, and you'll add that to the roadmap and what have you. Let's move on to the other one that you mentioned. There are four in total, but we're going to concentrate on this one next, and this one's called Nag Me Not. Nag Me Not for WordPress. We all know the pain of this. Oh, I'll give you the URL. It's nagmenotwp.com. Again, no hyphens or anything. nagmenotwp.com. Go check that out. This is so self-explanatory, but tell us what it is anyway.
Yes. So this also comes from other people commenting on sort of Twitter about the amount of admin notices or nag notices for upgrade and reviews and those things coming through. So I had thought about building this into admin toolkit to start with and thought, oh, it could just be separate on that side, because the amount of, well, you can see on the, if you visit the homepage on there, the amount of client sites just have all these endless notices on that side through that. If they've got paid plugins or free plugins on that side, they don't want to get all these other confusing sort of things popping up on there to kind of come through. So basically the blurb on the site, so it stops WordPress admin notifications from overwhelming users. You can install the plugin on your client sites or use the brand new browser extension.
Yeah, bravo.
For your troubleshooting across multiple dashboards. So this is kind of one name, but it's actually two products. So if you're doing site builds and you're letting your clients in, but you just want an easier life, you can put the plugin on their site so that you could see all the nags and things if you're maintaining the site. But for each individual user on there, you can set them to have like have it off normal or extreme mode to block everything on that side so they can just focus on what they're trying to do. But then I had also late last year started on a Chrome extension so that if you were a support person, yeah, so think of you're like a plugin support team, you're logging into different end customer sites. You can't put the plugin on that side, but trying to navigate around on there for the few sites I've been doing the last year or so on there, I thought, right, I need to get this bit sort of finished off as well. So as of a couple of days ago, that's now in the Chrome Web Store as well. And you can try it for free on up to two sites at a time, but there's no restrictions on just swapping the URLs out. You just got to go onto the settings screen to do that bit, and it fully works on there with your built-in block list that should be all of the ones I found during testing on that side. So even if it, like your anti-back stuff kills 99% of notices, it should be a lot cleaner on there. But then I've also then got the kind of the premium features in there as well. So you can kind of import your own list on that side or sort of add your own extra blocks on that side sort of through to kind of customize it and also have an unlimited number of sites. So say you're a plugin support team, you've got to go on there. The amount of notices you tend to see as like a new admin account on there that haven't all been dismissed. Trying to go to like the add new plugin screen to find the add new in between all those ones. Even if you think, well, it might save 30 seconds per site on that side to find things, or even like a minute or two, the amount of sites that they'd be going across to during the year on there, it should be hopefully like a no-brainer for support people to have in place. So rather than trying to have like the two different products on there, I thought, buy the one license, you can just use both depending on how you want to use stuff. So I thought, yeah, just keep it simple.
So it's a WordPress plugin, which obviously you can install, and then that is following that WordPress around. Or if you want to, if you can't install a plugin, or if you just choose not to, you can go with a browser extension. How does it work technically? Let's talk about the plugin quickly. So again, we're trying to get rid of those admin notices, basically adverts, you know. I imagine most of the sort of native WordPress things, like, you know, there's a bunch of plugin updates or WordPress core can be updated. Most people are probably okay with that, but it's when you get the giant advert for upgrade X plugin because, you know, we want you to do that. And so we're going to pester you until you jolly well do it. How does it do it? Are you just looking for certain telling signs of how they typically deploy these, or are you literally finding these adverts and then kind of reverse engineering them and saying, okay, I'm going to filter for this text? How are you doing it?
Well, the funny thing, the first attempt on this bit was a case of, this gets a bit more technical, buffering the output on the page to see what things were getting put in there, then try and strip it out to then kind of go through and thought, performance wise, that's probably not going to be the best thing on there. It must be an easier way. Then I thought, well, each of these different notices have basically got their own CSS classes or IDs basically just see what the most common ones are in there and kind of build up the block list sort of behind the scenes on there. So out of the box, the plugin and the Chrome extension have got, I think, like 20 or 30 different things on there that is like so-and-so notice in this particular page, then sort of try and get rid of. So the lighter weight approach for both of them was to basically inject a bit of extra CSS in the page so that if it sees any of these ones, it says display none. So it's physically there in the source, but then just kind of hides on there. So depending on how infested your sort of dashboard might be. There might be like a fraction of a second where you see bits and it kind of just like manages to get rid of them all on that side or through. But then, yeah, because it's taken that lighter approach, it doesn't do kind of, it doesn't have like an extra panel so you can click on that bit and see all these bits, because it's a case of, well, if you wanted to have a panel to see things, you could just easily toggle the mode on and off on that side or through.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it tries to do it in as light a way as possible on there for kind of doing it at the last moment by basically saying, oh, you got these notices, these match types of these styles, just set them to be displayed on that side. And then, yeah, the Chrome extension does the same, that if you allow it onto or to run or activate on particular sites and you change it into like normal or extreme mode, it'll say, oh, I've got this list of 20 or 30 different things to try and check for. If anything matches, just say display none, so they just disappear on that side through.
What's kind of interesting about this is obviously it annoys people for one thing. You know, we'd all rather have TV without adverts because it is just a bit infuriating. And so the same thing is true of the WordPress dashboard. It's just a bit infuriating. Is it the end of the world? No. But we're people who understand that these are just upsells and they're to be ignored. But I think, especially with regards to what we were talking about a moment ago, your administrator toolbox, administrator toolkit, the clients may well not have the same impression as you, and they may see this stuff as necessary. And, you know, why haven't you done this? You know, I've got this thing from this plugin X. It looks really important. There's this big thing saying we need to do this, this, and this. Well, okay, it's an ad. But the clients might not see it that way. So stripping it out, especially for the clients, might be quite helpful to stop them pestering you.
This is why you kind of got like the two modes on it, so that you as a site maintainer could say, yeah, I want to see all these things in case something important shows up. But your sort of a WordPress sort of client on that side, she's not overly technical. She just wants to go on and put a blog post or news articles on that side. Depending on the different plugins, sometimes I have the thanks for installing it closed. That's closed it for that user. But then like 2 weeks later on, you've been using this plugin for 2 weeks. Here's a massive upsell to go to the pro version.
Yeah.
They log in and think, where's my screen gone? Because it's pushed everything down there. They raise a support ticket for you. Your time is money on that side versus the kind of the whole, if it saves like a couple of hours across a year for them not asking, I say pointless questions, but unnecessary questions
on that side.
Then yeah. They can get a clean thing on there. You can still see what you want to kind of maintain the site. And yeah, you can hopefully sort of strike the balance on there.
Yeah, so that's nice.
The whole, yeah. But it's also, if you think, if you're trying to add a new plugin on there, when you kind of go to that new plugin screen, you've got so many notices that either appear above or below. To sometimes try and find that button in the middle there to then kind of go through. It's like, it's halfway down the screen because you've got all these other ones. So yeah, it's just the case of the cognitive overload on the kind of trying to work through and close all these ones down on, are they going to come back? Is it dismissible on that side through? It's just like a case of, yeah, I can't forgo people wanting to make money on that side with the upsells, but it's a case of sometimes I could do sort of cleaner ways on that side.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah.
The thing that never ceased to amaze me when I was talking to my clients was how full of anxiety the WordPress admin can be. So for me, because I'm in it all the time, I know that basically nothing I can do can really destroy anything. You know, even if I trash things, I know that they've ended up in the trash and I can resurrect them again. But my clients would often email me repeatedly about the same thing. And it turns out they just were terrified that they were going to break things. You know, they're not really fully conservant with WordPress. They use it once in a month. And they've got this whole process of, you know, they're literally looking at a bit of paper, which has a bullet pointed list of what to do. So go to this URL, type in the username, the password, click the blue button, log in. Now click this. You know what I mean? Basically, they're following this exact procedure so that they don't go wrong. And then stuff like this comes along. And again, to me and you, it's kind of annoying that that's kind of where it ends. But for them, it's not. Suddenly, it's like, oh, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. It's below the fold. I can't see what I'm supposed to see. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to close that down and write an email to the developer. It's crazy, but that's how it happens.
That's the amount of plugin updates and things you have through, even if you do like your monthly maintenance plan and bits on there. you update everything one day, then something else new pops up the following day. They then log in, like, well, I'm paying them to do updates on there, but it's shown there's another update and there's red dots. Right. So why aren't you doing your job on there? Well, we do it on a fixed cadence so we can test these things through. So yeah, that's why it's kind of got the different modes on there. And even for the WordPress plugin, you can do like custom mode. So you could literally just say, even if you had like the list of sort of 20 things on there, you could just disable nearly all of them and then just have like a couple of key ones on there. So if you know you've got like some persistent offenders, or you don't mind like little update notices for the plugin screen showing up, you can actually customize it on that side sort of through. So
I like that phrase that you just used, persistent flexible. Offenders. I like that.
Yeah. Well, because there are some that kind of like, oh, I got rid of that a bit. Like, you've been using this product for 3 months now. Give us a review. Yeah. 6 months. Oh, uninstall. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you tried to uninstall me. Give us a feedback.
Have you seen this new trend, this new version of skullduggery, where ads are now being injected inside the block editor? So you'll go to write a post and there's an ad above the title, basically. So between the admin bar at the top, if you've got it enabled that way, and the first thing, which is the title, there's an ad. And you just think, oh my god, I mean, that's just
yeah, new lows on.
There's a whole new field of things that you've got to try and track down with this plugin.
Yeah. I've sort of seen a couple that are put their own extra panel on the sidebar with like an upsell part on there, which is fair enough, because if you don't expand that little panel, then
you're out. Yeah, you're in
the
there.
Hole
yeah,
on that
yeah.
side sort of through. It's less on that side through. But yeah, this is going to be one of those other bits that either be a bit Marmite with people like, oh yes, this is quite useful, or be a case of, why do you want to hide these things? Because they're important to know you on these. But this is a case of, it comes down to, if you're trying to support clients, they might be the people that get easily confused on that bit. It's once again to help you protect your time by hopefully having less support tickets and less confused clients on that side.
Yeah.
So,
exactly right. Okay. We're going to be in a bit of a rush now, because I think I've got a fairly hard stop soon. So let's go through the other two quickly. So the first one so this is how I think I got to know you. Whenever you came on This Week in WordPress, this was the URL that you dropped as the thing you wanted to sort of be known by. And it's called Heads Up WP. Again, exactly as you'd imagine, headsupwp.com. What's this one?
This was another idea that started as a bit of a hybrid between a plugin, so that when things happen on the site, i.e. someone updates a plugin or deactivates bits on there, it would ping that across to a remote service that the portal doesn't exist yet, because I ran out of time with the corporate job on that side through. But the purpose on this one would have been, once again, if you're doing hosting for your clients, then this could be kind of like keeping a watchful eye each week or month on there for changes that might cause problems on their site. So you can get an email through or an alert to say, oh, you've deleted this blog post, but it's not redirecting across to somewhere else on there, or your domain's coming up for renewal in a week's time, because some people manage bits, other people let the clients do things on that side. So it's a bit more like a reputation protection thing. So you may well have built the site, they're looking after it, but you can kind of have a bit of automated oversight on that side to kind of sort of keep an eye on things. But this one kind of, yeah, I don't know what the future for this one will hold, because it then some of the heads up features kind of got baked into administrator's toolkit to kind of alert through on some of the different parts on that side through. But then the other parts of this bit for like the sort of the checking your websites each week or so may well be baked into my launch that website service, which we can pop to you in just a second on that side through. So yeah, heads up may well be kind of amalgamated into its successor on that side with some of the website audit parts sort of come across, and potentially some of these bits going into administrator toolkit for an extra kind of like SaaS-backed offering on that side. So that if you've got the plugin installed on 50 sites, rather than getting 50 emails through, it may well daily digest through to one bit to come across. So this comes back to the whole ecosystem of all these things interfeeding across to each other on that side through.
I'm loving the fact that you're still figuring it all out. I think that's great. Yeah. Maybe if we were to do this podcast again in a year's time, you'll have the whole...
I might have finished it.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you'll have figured out like, oh, you know what? That plugin as a standalone, that needed to go into the toolkit or not. I'm going to beef up what the offering inside of this one. But here we are. This is where we're at this time that we're recording it. So that's Heads Up WP. And then the last one we're going to mention today is launchthatwebsite.com. Again, brilliant URL. Well done for bagging that. I'm surprised that's around still. What are you doing here? Because this feels like more of a service than it does a plugin.
It was going to be a bit of both, because I came up with this idea shortly after the WordCamp US drama last year for let's diversify out of something that is just WordPress related on there. So this service could also be for anyone launching any sort of website on there, but with a bit more of a leaning across to sort of WordPress on that side. So it's, in simple terms, if you're a new web designer and you've not got any other processes and things in behind the scenes like Trello or sort of ClickUp or sort of Asana and things like that, then it'd be a dead simple online portal that you've got your checklist of all the things to do through for your pre-launch and post-launch on that side. But versus being something that you like Trello that you could use for free, it would also have extra functionality in for your web designers. So one of the benefits on here is it can kind of go through and import your sitemap for your staging or your live site. So rather than having your checklist of I've checked all the pages in the browser, there's an extra screen on there that basically for every single public URL or one in your sitemap, you can say checked on desktop, checked on tablet, checked on mobile. So you can't go through and miss those different pages. And then the other small bit that went in was also kind of your kind of high letter, high level meta information for your public pages. It would go through, do a quick check on all of them to say, right, have you got your page title set? Have you got any blanks and things in on that side through? But this one may well bring in some other parts from Heads Up so that once your site has gone live, either once a month or once a week on there, depending on your preferences or pricing plan, it will go through, do a website crawl on that bit and say, oh, you've got these broken links, these missing images. So once your site's gone live, you then got that oversight to make sure it's still ticking over on there. And then we'll probably also do things like your domain's up for renewal, give you a month's notice, a week's notice, a few days.
Oh, right.
So
yeah,
you've got your credit card and bits in that side. So this is going to be like the successor for Heads Up.
Yeah, in a sense, it might not end up being launch your website. It might be more launch and maintain. Because it might be things that are just sort of ongoing that you need to do, I don't know, on a weekly basis. Just have you checked in with the client this week? Yes. Okay. Tick the box. Great. That's done. Yeah. So it feels a bit like in some regard, there's this like checklist possibility. Like here's the pro forma for all the things that you need to make sure are done. You know, has it been submitted to Google? Have we got the HD access all switched off so that it's actually available and search engines can find it? Have we got the homepage correctly done? Blah blah blah. You can just create your tick list, go through that. Do you launch with like templates that you've built as well, so that you know
I've
if
got
you don't
one template in there currently. So if you're on launchthatwebsite.com and then go to templates on there, I've got the one site launch template at the moment that covers a whole lot of different pre-launch and post-launch tasks on that side, but it's built to be flexible so that if you had your own processes or wanted to do things, you could just download the Excel file on there, add your own bits in the standardized format, import that into either your kind of sort of SaaS or your customer area for an individual customer and tweak things on there to kind of go through, or just have one for all of your different sort of projects. But yeah, it's basically a simple checklist on there that you can make your own template and add things in once you've imported it on that side through. But it just wants to be a lot less distraction on all the other bells and whistles that you don't need. Literally say, right, here's the things that you can kind of, the task to complete the site launch on that side and some of these extra things just for your web designers and bits around. But once again, thinking of the future proofing, if you pop to the About page and pass the little blurb at the top, it would also be useful for helping you maintain, build, and refreshing your website. So the maintain part would be kind of the future site audits for check for your broken links and the things. If you then publish a new page on your site, if you had the plugin installed, that then let this know that you say, oh, you've got this new page checked, send you alert. Have you checked it on your desktop and so on there?
Right,
or
right.
Check it for broken links. Then you've done your new marketing campaign launch page. The number one trick that most assistant people do, they write the email address but miss off the mail too, so it's not actually clickable on that side through, and all these other bits. So yeah, there's going to be a lot more like the Heads Up stuff baked into here. So it's more the reactive or proactive bit on there for a new page that got published. Have you checked it? Oh, you got this broken link. Then also other bits of, if you do sites properly, you have a lot of cross-linking between your site. If you remove a page, it will then double check, like, oh, well, you're still linking from four other pages because we did this full site audit, redirect them or sort some other bits on that side through. So yeah, I've got a long list of other things that can come into this that would be the different ideas through, which now that I've got kind of like 5 days a week for my own time with some client work, I can actually get all these other little bits sort of finished on that side. So I can say, right, this does all these things. But yeah, launch that website. I still need to finish kind of the website copy and update it for the approach I want to do sort of now on that side sort of through. But yeah, it's fully up and running. Should anyone want to pop in and have a sort of free test around there just to kick the tires and see what it's like.
No, that's lovely.
Yeah, kind of had any paying customers. So yeah. Any feedback or interest would be
lovely.
Welcome on that side.
Yeah, right? It feels like what we've done today is like paint a story of the rest of your year. Like we're in the middle of...
I've got to be busy.
We're in the middle of 2025 and you've obviously, you know, you've binned the trash, the corporate life, and now you're on your own. And in the meantime, whilst you were kind of making that transition, you've got these four things and you've got them all now. And now in the rest of 2025, you have to figure out what things need to be added, what needs to be taken away, and which ones you're going to promote and work on really hard. So I will link in the show notes, if you head to wpbuilds.com, search for the episode Dave Gray, which it's got an E in it. So it's G-R-E-Y, not G-R-A-Y. Search for that episode and you'll find the links to the four properties that we mentioned just there. That's fascinating. I honestly wish you all the best of luck. I know that you are a very hard worker. I know that you're very diligent, and so hopefully people will pick up on that and these products will become a great success and you'll be enormously profitable in the rest of 2025.
That's the plan.
Good luck.
But even if it's profitable, just enough to have the nice level of living and bits on that side and like kind of the time freedom to say, right, well, I can stop off at the park or it's nice and sunny, can kind of go for a walk, and yeah, being immensely profitable would be nice, but I've not got any grand illusions of being like a multimillionaire for things.
We're
being comfortable and having that lifestyle of, yeah, we can do bits on that aside, not have to worry on things. But yes, I just need one of these bits to stick to then get a bit of cross motion on that side sort of through on the aircraft. So
well, there you go. Well, Dave Gray, thank you so much for chatting to me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, for inviting me on the show.
You're very welcome. Okay, that's all I've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed that. If you did, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 432 and leave us a comment there. If you didn't like it, search for episode number 432 and leave us a comment as well. We'd really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also helped this week by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And we thank Bluehost, GoDaddy Pro, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without the great support of companies like that. If you want to find out more about advertising on our podcast, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise. Okay, nearly time to fade in the cheesy music, but not quite. Just a quick reminder, if you'd like to advertise on this podcast, wpbuilds.com/advertise. If you'd like to find out more about the different bits and pieces that we do, wpbuilds.com/subscribe. We'll be back next Thursday for a podcast episode. We'll also be back for This Week in WordPress on Monday. We will see you at one of those, I hope. Stay safe. Have a good week. Here comes the cheesy music. Bye-bye for now.